Hello, everybody, and welcome in to another special podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zaglul, and on today's show, we're welcoming back a very special guest to the program. He's been on the show multiple times before to talk about NCAA March Madness, plus his amazing NBA career, and we intend on talking about both of those subjects today, as well as some NBA news and much more. Before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglul. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World. Creativity at its finest, and by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Get ready for the team's 2019 season as they celebrate their 20th anniversary. Purchase tickets right now at 708-489-2255. Again, that's 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history this summer in Crestwood. Well, this is an interview and a guest that I always look forward to talking to. I was fortunate enough to come into contact with him about a year ago, and since then we've stayed in contact, we've talked back and forth, and he's also been a guest on my radio show on WHPK-FM. Listen, his story is amazing. Coming from Chicago, overcoming all of the hardships that he has to turn in an amazing NBA career, an amazing collegiate career, and now time with the Big Three and time in the media. He's such an impressive person, and I'm always honored to welcome him on this show. So with that, enjoy my interview with today's special guest. He began his basketball career at Whitney Young High School here in Chicago, winning a state championship in 1998. He then played collegiately at DePaul for two seasons and won the Conference USA Player of the Year Award in 1999. Just 1 year later, he was selected by the Los Angeles Clippers in the first round of the NBA draft, and after a memorable 13-year NBA career, he announced his retirement in 2013. Today, he's a Jordan Brand ambassador, host of Knuckleheads, and contributor to The Bounce on Yahoo Sports. Please welcome the one and only Quentin Richardson to the show. Quentin, how are you doing today? Thank you for being here on the show.
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me.
You know, you've been quite busy since we last talked. I mean, now your podcast, as I mentioned, Knuckleheads, is a top 10 iTunes sports podcast. You're now contributing to The Bounce on Yahoo Sports, and you've also made some appearances on Clippers and Magic game day broadcasts. What's prompted you to become so involved in media?
Just stepping into the next phase, man. Just seeing, you know, I did 4 years in the front office with the Pistons, and I enjoyed that experience, but just moving on to the next thing and trying to see what's next for me, and I'm enjoying the media side of it right now.
Well, your expertise is always welcomed, and after this past weekend's matchups in the NCAA tournament, I think it's needed because we saw Duke, North Carolina, and Gonzaga all lose in stunning fashion. Auburn, a 5-seed entering the tournament, is now in the Final Four, and Virginia, after nearly losing to a 16-seed again, is now the last 1-seed to survive. What are your impressions on the stunning upsets and the current configuration of the Final Four? Is this something that you saw coming?
I mean, that's the one thing about the NCAA tournament, man. It's March Madness for a reason. You can be knocked out in one night, and it's who's the better team on that given night. It's not about who's done what and who's ranked during the season. That one given night, if they can come out and have a better 40 minutes than the other team, this is what you have.
You know, going back to Duke's loss against Michigan State for a minute, coming into the tournament, you can argue that Duke, without question, was the most athletically talented team in the tournament. I mean, Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, and Cam Reddish, that is overpowering talent. So with that in mind, why did Duke struggle to survive in the tournament? Because they had multiple games in which they won by 1 or 2 points. They won based on other teams' mistakes. Why do you think that was this year?
I'm not sure why it came down to that. But, I mean, I think, like you said, coming into the last couple of games, they were eking them out. And, you know, this Michigan State was obviously, you know, they're unbelievably coached by Tom Izzo. And he's notorious for having a disciplined defensive team, a grinded-out type of team. And, I mean, I think that's what you saw. They weathered the storm. They stuck with it. They stuck with it, and they grinded out a tough, tough win over a tough Duke team. And, I mean, nobody – I don't think anybody really expected that other than Michigan State fans.
What do you think of Zion Williamson's performance in the tournament? And now that Duke is out, what are you expecting from him at the NBA level?
I believe, I mean, obviously he's going to, you know, everybody expects him to be the overall number one pick. You know, we'll see how that goes for him. But, I mean, I wish him well, man. I think he's an unbelievable talent. Obviously he's a specimen, a physical specimen, and an athletic specimen that we haven't seen the likes of. When you talk about the combination of his size, you know, his weight and athleticism and the way he's able to move and get up in the air with that, with as much as he weighs, I mean, we haven't seen that. So, I mean, from that aspect, you know, I wish him well, man. I think he's gonna burst on the scene, and obviously he's going to make a big splash, probably going to be, you know, getting a big, big shoe deal contract, and I think we'll see a lot of him all over the summer leading up into the season.
Do you see any weaknesses in his game? Because it seems like everyone's talking about his strengths and his physicality. Is there anything that you see that could hurt him coming to the NBA?
I think obviously the first thing that you think of is, you know, he has to develop a floor game as far as being able to, you know, shoot a little bit better than he does. But I mean, the one thing that, you know, that I would have concern about is, you know, his weight. And how that would be moving forward. I mean, everybody, when they enter the NBA, if you look at a Giannis to a KD to a Tayshaun Prince, when you look at them as a rookie for 4, 5, 6 years in the league, everybody gained 10 to 15 to 20 pounds. So, I mean, him being already at 285 or whatever they say he is, I don't think he can afford to really gain that weight that people naturally gain. So, I mean, he's going to have to be very vigilant about his you know, his off the court, his eating habits, his nutrition, working out, doing the extra things that he needs to do just to take care of his body and to keep his body in peak shape.
Quentin Richardson here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Quentin, when watching the NCAA tournament and all of these exciting, fast-paced games, does it spur memories of your time with DePaul in the tournament? What was your experience like playing during March Madness at DePaul?
It was awesome, man. I mean, we got put out in the first round against Kansas, but I mean, the whole experience of it was a great experience. Traveling with the team, being with your teammates and stuff like that, getting a chance to experience March Madness, it was great for me. I had a good time.
And what's interesting about March Madness, and we've talked about this before on this podcast, is the fact that you have so much money involved, whether it be from TV revenue, merchandise sales, or the popularity of bracket challenges. And yet, none of the players ever receive a piece of the pie. Is that something that concerns you? And do you think players deserve to be paid for what they do?
Absolutely, man. I mean, when you look at the institutions and everything, and from the TV contracts to everything, the shoe companies, everybody who has a seat at the table is making millions and billions of dollars off these kids, except the actual kids. You look at the school institutions, whether it be from the, like I say, from the shoe companies to the endorsements all around the board, everybody's getting a piece of the pie except the actual players that are on the actual court, and they are the actual product. So, I mean, that's, in a nutshell, that's obviously not fair. Something needs to be done in that respect.
Has this issue ever affected you personally? Because you were a Conference USA Player of the Year. You played in the NCAA tournament. You were a standout at DePaul. Have you ever had a conflict with this issue on a personal level?
I think as a kid, I wasn't paying much attention to it. But, I mean, looking back in hindsight, you know, you look at different things and the way, you know, I feel like DePaul obviously profited off of my likeness or whatever in some type of way, shape, form, or fashion, as well as a Lance Williams or a Bobby Simmons when we came in as all freshmen and from Chicago and things like that. But, I mean, that's not something that we could do anything about at that point. I think it's great that the issue is being talked about, and now it's a conversation that's ongoing. And I think at some point that something will be done to, you know, for the kids of the future, for them to kind of gain get put in some type of situation where they're not in the same situation we were, where we never got anything. And I think the conversation is going towards the place where they're going to have to put something in place. I don't know what that will be, but hopefully it'll be something, and hopefully it'll be soon.
what do you think would be a fair way to resolve this situation? I mean, even thinking about your days at DePaul, what do you think would have been fair had maybe the administration come to you and said, hey, we have this proposition to pay you guys? What would have worked for you?
I don't know. I heard Coach Kelvin Sampson say some good things about, you know, he was talking about how kids, their families should be given, you know, be able to be given a ticket or a plane ticket to be able to come to the tournament to see them play if they're in an unfortunate situation where they can't afford that. I mean, that's a classic scenario that I know, you know, hundreds and thousands of kids are going through in college and have gone through over the years, that get to go and play in big games or something and go to the tournament, and their family is too poor to even afford a plane ticket or you know, a ticket to the game to get there. So, I mean, that's absolutely something I feel should be put in place. And, I mean, I don't know all of the answers and things like that, but I did hear that out there, and that was one thing that stuck out to me that absolutely should be done, because that's a penny in the bucket for something as big as the NCAA and the tournament and all of the different things and the money that goes into these institutions. That's a drop in the bucket for them to be able to get, you know, the kids' families to the tournament to watch them play, put them in a hotel to watch them play. That shouldn't be a big deal.
Let's shift gears now to some NBA news, more specifically on the Los Angeles Lakers and their disappointing season. Now, LeBron James has been shut down for the rest of the year, while the team itself has officially been eliminated from playoff contention. With all of this in mind, what do you make of this ugly situation right now in L.A.?
I think this is right now not a worst-case scenario, but this is close to it for them. You know, didn't have the season they won. I think, you know, nobody would have thought coming into this season that, you know, they don't make the playoffs and it ends this way and things look this ugly. You know, the whole Anthony Davis saga was a debacle. So, I mean, I think, you know, if you're Magic and Rob Pelinka, you know, I think they've already gotten back, you know, rolled their sleeves up and ready to put their work in for this summer. Like, who they will get, who they will pursue, we don't know. But, I mean, obviously, they got to put some different pieces around LeBron. And some of those young guys, honestly, they won't be able to come back. After going through what they went through this year, I don't think they were all bought in after that trade thing went down. And I think some people will be moved around after that.
What's it like for a young guy in the NBA? And you talked about how those guys may not be able to come back. Are you speaking from experience there? Was there something that you went through early on in your career with the Clippers where it was just hard for you to make a comeback from maybe a bad season or a bad experience?
Not me personally. I've seen, you know, being in the NBA for 13 years, you've seen scenarios like this where guys are put in trade rumors or this and that, and they're not able to, you know, after if they have to come back to the team, they're not able to come back and be able to be all the way bought in because they feel that they were on a trade block, and the only reason it didn't happen wasn't because the current team didn't want to do it. They wanted to do it, but it just fell apart. So now it's like trying to break up with your girlfriend, but then you got to be back with her and see her and, you know, go sit right in her face after that. So it's like that type of situation, and I think that's why the guys kind of played the way they played down the stretch of the season, and their season went downhill the way it did.
And going back to LeBron and the Lakers' struggles, you were recently quoted as saying this, quote, "LeBron lacks the killer instinct to separate himself from Kobe and MJ comparisons." So with that out there, do you feel that LeBron moving to LA has distracted him from performing well on the court? Is he focused too much on the LA scene rather than the LA Lakers?
No, I don't think that. I think I think that's something that people don't understand. I think LeBron being in L.A. just makes it that much easier for him to do the different things and the different shows that people are throwing out there, like, oh, he's doing too many shows. It, like, those are things that you can do after a regular practice day or a regular off day when you live in L.A. It's not like he's going out of his way. He's taking private jets and he's trying to get here and get there and he's exhausting himself. No, everything is right there accessible to him in L.A., so that's part of why he went to L.A. You know, obviously he went there to win and to play well, but, I mean, also he had a vision that he could be able to get all of these things done and not have to go out of his way to do them. And I think that's what he went to L.A. for, and I think he's achieving that. Now, on the basketball front, I don't think he's cheating the game or he's cheating anything. I think he's putting his all into it like he always does, but it's just a little bit harder in the West, and he has a different team than he had in the previous years.
And we've talked about how this Lakers team just hasn't lived up to expectations. You know, before the year began, the Lakers were projected to make the playoffs. Maybe not win the finals per se, but make the playoffs. And obviously, that hasn't gone according to plan. When you played in the NBA, were you ever in that situation being on an underperforming team? And if so, how'd you resolve that issue?
Absolutely. When I played, you know, for the New York Knicks, we had the highest payroll in the NBA, and we had the worst record, and that was in New York City. So, I mean, can you imagine the way the fans were going and the things that we had to go through? So, I mean, I've definitely been in that situation where things aren't going the way. I mean, what he saw in L.A. wasn't as bad as what we saw in New York on a day-to-day, on a nightly basis. But, you know, that's a situation that, you know, as an organization, you know, the people in position to make the moves with the players and the roster, they do what they can. And the guys that are there and know that they have to come back, we do what we had to do to try and improve ourselves to get better, to make sure that the next year that it wouldn't be going the same way. So, I mean, it's kind of twofold.
Going to your current media career, your new podcast entitled Knuckleheads with Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles is now a top 10 iTunes sports podcast. Now, you and Darius were teammates in L.A. on the Clippers, and the podcast itself has had some big names from the NBA on it. What compelled you to start the podcast, and how have you grown it into what it is today?
It was something that myself and Darius, like you say, we played together, best of friends, brothers, and all of that. And we now live close to each other here in Florida. And so, you know, we're always hanging out, sitting there, and we watch all of the shows, everything, the first take. We watch everything. We still fans of this. And you know, we was just like, man, we felt like that we could have a podcast, or if we had whatever the platform. At first, it was just like if we had a platform, you know, that we could talk and have our discussions and talk to different players and stuff. We felt like that we would do a few things differently than they're being done, you know, on the TV or on a lot of different platforms. Because we feel a lot of the media is just recycled. Everybody asks the same questions, and it's over and over. You see the guys answering the same questions in different ways, or some in the same way. So we just felt like if we was able to do it, that we would have conversations and talk about things that you don't hear them talk about so much, and try and get a little more lighthearted, a little more personable with them, and talk about stories, kind of offbeat stories that still always tie into basketball somehow and got something to do with basketball, but aren't the traditional basketball questions that you hear athletes being asked. We aren't sitting in the traditional locker room or arena setting where you see guys getting interviewed. We're trying to be, you know, in their house, my house, or a house, in a kind of like a relaxed environment where it's not that same scenario where they feel like, oh, here come all the cameras and media ask you these questions. We have more of a conversation, and we have more of a, like, it's more like hanging out in the locker room, kicking it on the bus, kicking it on the plane. That's the kind of atmosphere and vibe that we try and create and we try and cultivate.
What's the funniest story that you've heard from one of your guests on the podcast?
I think the best story that we've gotten so far was with Wilson Chandler. We asked him. We haven't put his episode out yet, but we asked him about one of the things that he did when he, you know, after he first got drafted. You know, everybody got a crazy story about going out and buying something or doing something, you know, ridiculous. And he gave the craziest story. He was like, you know, he from the hood, lived in the projects or whatever. Didn't go to the draft, watched the draft on TV. When he got drafted, you know, he got picked 18, which was way higher than anybody expected and all that stuff. So he gets picked. He like, man, I was just so excited. Didn't really know what to do. He like, he was at the hood in his grandmother's house, him and his homeboys, when it got bikes. They all had bikes, but he said he went down to the neighborhood store, bought bottles of Cristal, rode around the projects on their bikes, just popping bottles of Cristal, being excited. I said, I've never heard anything like that. Out of all of the stories I've heard and talked about, I've never heard that one. That was awesome.
And before we let you go today, Quentin, I wanted to ask you about a recent post of yours on Instagram that says the following. MJ has more 50-point games than Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, and Kobe Bryant combined. In your mind, does that settle the MJ versus LeBron or MJ versus Kobe debate?
I don't know if that does or not for anybody else. I mean, those are just little. When I posted that, it wasn't even about that debate. It was about the wow factor because I literally didn't know that. When I saw the stat, I was like, that's crazy. Like, so for me, that had nothing to do with the MJ versus anybody debate. It was just like, this is crazy when you see one person got more 50-point games than all of these dudes who are walking buckets. Like, that's crazy. That was all that was about to me. It had nothing to do with the whole debate or the argument of that. Because to me, I mean, people going to still debate that. People going to say whatever they want to say. I kind of, it is what it is. To me, MJ, it speaks for itself. For the people that don't see it, there's really no need for me to argue with them because they still going to walk away from it feeling how they feel. And they're entitled to feel that way, as I am entitled to feel the way I want to. So it's all good. I get people on social media, people be big mad about it, be serious mad about it. Like this say brother or they father. I'm just like, hey, I'm not that into it. I'm not gonna use profane language and go at people. I kinda laugh it off.
Well, Quentin, thank you so much for being here on the show. Always a pleasure, and hope to have you on again soon. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
What an honor it was to welcome Quentin Richardson back on the show as we talk with him about some NBA news, NCAA March Madness, plus his amazing basketball career. As I mentioned before the interview began, Quentin is always a great guest, and you heard it by our conversations. We laughed, but at the same time got down to business and exchanged some valuable insights on NCAA March Madness, paying players, another very hot topic right now, as well as LeBron James and his struggles in LA. So I hope you enjoyed our candid conversation just as much as I did. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at @ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglua. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site. Simply type in your email, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago, and every podcast from the 2018-19 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and or write a review. And finally, if you enjoyed today's show, make sure to check out my new radio show every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHPK-FM Chicago. You'll still hear my same hard-hitting Chicago sports opinions. Plus, we'll add some national sports stories, special segments, and of course, special guest interviews on most shows. That's every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHPK-FM Chicago. Thank you again for listening in to today's show, and have a great day.